This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, welcome to the program. This is Pastor Joe Larson. I'm sitting in one more night with Pastor Ernie. He's going to go drive early in the morning to have some surgery on his eye. And we're going to pray together here in a few minutes for him. With me on the board tonight is Style, and he's going to help me with a very unusual program. We're going to do a real Christmas special tonight, and we are going to be talking about a Christmas tree, the decorations, and how Christians can have a real Christian tree, help teach our children, grandchildren, and for many out there themselves about Christmas and Christ. But how are you doing tonight, Style? You ready to go to work?
I'm always ready, Joe.
Okay, well, you're supposed to keep me out of trouble, so you got a big job.
Yeah, I'm gonna have my hands full tonight.
All right. Let's pray for Pastor Ernie. And I want all of you out there to pray with me. We are all going to need prayer. If you haven't needed it, you will. And there is great, great power in prayer. I'm such a firm believer. I've seen wonderful things in my life but through the power of prayer. So please pray along with me. Dear Heavenly Father, you know, your servant Ernie going in for surgery. He's had one eye worked on, got a really great doctor, but I would pray that you, the surgeon, that you would guide and direct his hands, Lord, that you would be there to watch over and control things. You would be with his wife, family, that you would comfort them during this time, and that you would help him recover his sight quickly, and that the healing would go well. And I know he's put his faith and trust in you, and he's confident in the outcome. We agree there, but we know we must pray that it be thy perfect will, Lord. But we sure hope that he gets his eyesight all restored and is able to continue reading, teaching, and preaching until you call him home. And we ask this in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen. Going to start tonight with my favorite decoration on a Christmas tree. I guess I maybe better start telling what a Christmas tree is. It's an actual Christmas tree that glorifies Christ. Everything on it tells a story of the Savior, something about Jesus. You know, his name in Hebrew is Yehoshua. Yehoshua which means Jehovah saves. Isn't that interesting? Yehoshua, Jehovah, God, Jehovah saves. That's where we get Jesus Christ is our Savior, because his actual name is God, Jehovah, saves. Now, I guess before I start with the candy cane, they go on a Christmas tree. Now, the earliest things I can find in history, you go back, there was a writing in the 1665 B.C., the Jewish had the Festival of Light. God, of course, Jesus is the light of the world. And this was recorded, the first reference to a church writings about a tree was the historian Tertullian back in 200 A.D. in the year of our Lord, where he said, "You are the light of the world, a tree evergreen, if you have renounced the heathen temple." Now, a little story there. In 400 A.D., there was a pastor, William Boniface. He was Roman Catholic, so they called him, you know, St. Boniface. But he was sent by Pope Gregory as a missionary to the heathen Germans at Gessmar, where he confronted, this is a true story, the chieftain Gundahar. And they were going to offer as a sacrifice little Prince Aslan. This bloody sacrifice was to go be to Thor, their pagan god, who they believed, it wasn't like the stuff you've heard about Thor, who lived in a huge oak tree. Now, Pastor Boniface, when he went to stop this, he boldly took an axe, and after a few swings at this mighty, huge, blood oak tree, an enormous wind came out of nowhere and blew the tree completely over, ripped all over the place. The heathen were in awe. They were terrified, actually. Then, pointing to an evergreen tree nearby, Pastor Boniface stated, and this is a quote, "This is the word, not a drop of blood shall fall tonight, for this is the birth night of Saint Christ, Son of the All-Father and Savior of the world." Now notice how he's mixing some things in to help these people understand what he's talking about. The All-Father, you know, because they believe that Thor, his father, Odin was the All-Father, that this is the Saint Christ, Son of the All-Father, Savior of the world. This little tree, a young child of the forest, shall be a home tree tonight. It is the wood of peace, for your houses are built of fir. It is the sign of endless life, for its branches are evergreen. See how it points toward heaven. Let this be called the tree of the Christ child. Gather about it, not in the wild woods, but in your home. There it will shelter no deeds of blood, but loving gifts and light of kindness. Isn't it amazing we have knowledge like this? This came from dear friend of mine and Pastor Ernie's, William J. Federer. We call him Bill Federer. And he is a researcher. He is an author, historian, speaker, and a wonderful brother in Christ. This information is out there, but, you know, it's amazing. The world doesn't really want you to know this stuff for some funny reason. Then, in 1520, a man named Martin Luther. You remember Martin Luther, style?
I know Martin Luther well.
The great Christian Reformation from the Catholic Church, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. In 1520, he was walking home on Christmas Eve under a cold December sky where he noticed all these countless stars illuminating the night. He returned home and, to the delight of his children, set up an evergreen tree, placing a great number of small candles on the branches. He told his children of the Christ child, the light of the world, whose birth had so glorious brightened the sky on that first Christmas Eve. He set up a creche scene, a manger scene, under the tree so that the lights would appear as the stars above Bethlehem. So if you didn't know where the Christmas tree came from, I hope you have some ideas. This is what we know from the history we have, and things were carried forward, and we now have the Christmas tree. Now, my favorite decoration on the Christmas tree is one item. It's called a candy cane. Candy? Christmas? Well, there's a reason, you see, because the candy cane tells a marvelous story. The candy cane is white. White is for purity. And purity in the Lord. We know that the white apparel in John 20, verse 12, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Angels telling about Jesus will come in like manner as he went to heaven. And we know that the angel of the Lord had come and rolled away the stone that where Christ was entombed. He rolled away the stone from the door. And in Matthew 28:3, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And we know other times in Revelation 3, verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 7:9 talks about before the people worshiping before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Yes. And in Revelation 7:13, and one of the elders answered and saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robe, and whence they come? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. White for purity. White and clean. Cleansly. White, clean. Clean from what? Clean from sin. We have been cleaned from sin. And we know when the Lord comes back, Revelation 19:14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. When they went to the Hebrew people, when they went to war, they rode white horses, the kings. When they went to make peace, they rode a donkey. So these, the armies in heaven, were in white on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. They'd been purified by the Lord. Going to battle, running to the battle. We hear that, keep fighting the fight every night, right, Style? Fighting what? The good fight of faith.
That's right.
Then the candy cane is hard. It's hard because, well, Jesus is called what? The rock. God's called the rock of ages. 1 Samuel 2, there is none holy as the Lord Christ, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. And Samuel goes on, the Lord is my rock and fortress. Again, in chapter 22, 2 Samuel, the God of my rock. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? On and on in Psalms, the Lord is the rock. Blessed be my rock. In Psalm 62, he is my only rock in my salvation. I shall not be moved. You know, there's a hymn. I shall not be moved because he's the rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, but they drank that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. And there are many more verses. That's amazing. You can do... looking at these, remember he was 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, Jesus, but unto them which be your disobedient, the stone which the builders disavowed, the same is made head of the corner, the cornerstone, the rock of which everything is built upon. Then there are red stripes down the candy cane, right? Well, what is the red for? Stands for two things. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, love, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love. The Bible talks, I could do 2 hours just on love. But it also is read for the blood, Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Likewise, after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Matthew, John, all talk about my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. John 6:56. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. Everywhere through scripture, especially this, because later on we'll talk about the sheep. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Through the everlasting covenant. The red is for blood and for love. And most candy canes, you'll notice there are stripes on the old-fashioned ones, the ones of my tree. John 19:1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands, scourged him, whipped him until his back was blood, striped with wounds. Yeah. Matthew 27:26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, they delivered him to be crucified. 1 Peter 2, I'm going to read several verses here. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, to his Father, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By the stripes of Christ, you and I were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You see, the idea I'm getting to is when we decorate the Christmas tree, Christmon tree, we can make our decorations. Candy canes, I haven't figured out how to make yet. I'm not much of a candy cook. But they can be bought and hung. They're beautiful, and they tell the story. Also, the spices, peppermint flavor, and they talked about the spices. Luke talked about the women when they returned prepared spices and ointment for Jesus. And when they came to the sepulcher, they brought the spices they had prepared, right? Then in John 19:40, they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of Jews to bury. Talks in Matthew 23:23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law of judgment and mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave it the other undone. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue all manner of herbs and pass over judgment. And the love of God, these ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So the spices on the candy cane, again, scripture. And last but not least, what shape is the candy cane? Dial?
Well, it's in the shape of a shepherd's crook, right?
Shepherd's staff, right. And also, well, what was it used for?
Herding sheep?
Yeah. So the shepherd could reach out and grab sheep around the neck and pull them out of trouble, pull them out of ditch, or help steer one away from something, help turn the flock. It was used to control, and he also used it to fight off predators that came after the sheep. Now, Judges 6:21, then the angel of the Lord, which is Christ himself, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, came down, put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. These were the parents of Samson. They had built, they were going to worship him, this angel, but he took the worship. Why? Because the angel of the Lord was the pre-incarnated Christ. He took his staff, think about this, and he touched the rocks, and fire rose out of rock. Think about that. We have in Saul, First Samuel. And he took his staff in his hand and chose with him five smooth stones out of a brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Even the boy David had his what? Staff. Psalm 23:4, remember this? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff. Zechariah, how about this one? 11:10. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day, so that the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear, for they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it into the potter, a goodly price that I was pressed at them. And I took 30 pieces of silver and cast into the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder my other staff, even bands, so that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Yep, the staff. Oh, remember in Mark 6:8? And Jesus commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, the apostles. Save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. Only take the staff. The candy cane. There's quite a Bible study right there. There were so many verses I was kind of picking and choosing, Kyle, to kind of make it fit the time allowed. But you see, when you go to put candy canes on the tree, you could do a Bible study just one night putting candy canes on a tree and talk about the tree being what? Evergreen, the tree pointing to heaven, the tree, the evergreen, everlasting life pointing to heaven. What a way to start Christmas, by decorating a real Christmas tree, by celebrating the Christmas story, the birth of our Savior. How about having the nativity scene under the Christmas tree? What do you think? Sound like we might have something here?
I think that's a great plan.
So that's what we do at the Larson House. We put up the tree and we put up the light, and then the candy canes. Now, after the break, we'll talk about how to decorate the tree. And like I said, we'll start with the tree lights. And according to my clock, we're just about time for the break, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, take it away.
God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
In Bethlehem, in Jewry, this blessed babe was born and laid within a manger upon this blessed morn. The which his mother Mary did nothing take in scorn.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful music. That's, I think, one of my favorite parts about Christmas is some of the most beautiful music in the world was written to celebrate Christmas. And I don't mean Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I guess fun stuff, but the real beautiful old hymns. There's nothing like them. This is Pastor Joe Larson, and I'm sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders tonight. Some of you remember me. Some of the new people may not, but I always introduce myself as that God-fearing, Bible-believing, flag-waving, gun-owning, Constitution-loving patriot. I am one of many who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Blessed beyond. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So tonight, Pastor Ernie's going to bed very, very early, as he has to get up about 3 o'clock in the morning, drive in Cleveland to go to a surgeon, have some eye surgery, and keep him in your prayers tonight. Tonight we're talking about the Christmas tree, a real Christmas tree, not the fake trees that you see at the malls, you know, the trees that are covered in, well, I think I did this the other night, but I'm going to read a word in Scripture in Jeremiah. He's talking about the word of the Lord. And he said in Jeremiah 10:2, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth the tree out of the forest, and the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. In the old days when I was a kid, they had Christmas trees. They had two flat pieces of wood, and they were nailed into the bottom of the tree, forming a, you know, X. And that's what the tree stood on. In those days, they weren't even putting water. Yes, I'm old style, very old. You know, you probably never heard of a tree without a stand with water, right? Or an artificial tree.
Well, listen, I've heard of a tree without water because I'm very bad at watering mine.
Okay, but in the old days, that's how we got the tree to stand up. There were just crossed pieces of wood nailed into the bottom of the tree, so it stood upright with long nails. And in the last verse 5, they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, carried, because they cannot go anywhere. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Now, what the Lord was saying here in Scripture is the heathen were using these trees decorated for pagan worship. And it was decorated with silver and gold kind of decorations. And if you notice now, when you go to someplace like a mall, there's all kinds of gold, silver ribbon and balls. But have you ever seen anything on a tree at one of those big malls that represents Jesus Christ?
Not to my recollection.
Occasionally, you might find one with a star. I don't think I've seen anything in a big mall except the star. But most of the time, it's big, fancy, a lot of times it's gold and silver and a lot of ribbons. And they're really full. I mean, everything is packed so that you almost can't see the tree, right?
Right.
Well, we get a tree that has some room. Trees in nature house the birds. They shelter, give shade. Remember the date tree they were talking about? People would lie under the trees, the pomegranate, the date. Olive trees would be what they had for shade. The animals, the birds would nest in them. And so anyway, a real Christmas tree, like I said, we start with the light. And, well, Bible study time, lights. How about John 1, 6 through 9? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to witness, to bear witness of the light, but believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light, which lightens every man that cometh to the world. Yep. The Christmas tree light. Jesus was what? The light of the world. Now, I just picked for times, and there are many, many other places in Scripture where you can find. So one night you put on the light and the candy canes. Tell about the candy cane, how they represent Jesus. The next night, the next day, you start then and add to that on the tree. Now, here's some of the things that you can do. They can be made at home. Some of these things can be bought, and a lot of them can be made. Our church has a whole tree full of ornaments that were made, sewn, stuffed by different church members. So it can be done. Some of these things you can buy, like angels. And remember in Matthew when the devil took Jesus up to the holy city on a pinnacle there in the temple, and he said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against the stone. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." I bet if you looked, you could find a whole bunch of verses on Bible on angels, right, Style?
I don't think that one should be too hard to find.
Yeah, but see where I'm going with this? You can create your own family's Bible study, and you can do it in such a way each and every year you can do different verses as you hang the different ornaments, like the light. There are different places in there about Jesus being the light of the world. Angels, there's a lot of different verses on angels. So every year that you do this, you can change it and increase the knowledge of the Word of God. I wonder how many people have thought about this. Later on, I'm going to have the phone lines open, see how many people actually thought about this, using it for a study to teach the children, to teach the grandchildren, and how you can make it new and different every year, keep a tradition, but change it. Then you can put sheep on the tree, right? And Matthew 25, verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats, but the goats on his left. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We are the sheep of his pasture, right? He's the great shepherd. There are so many verses. It was so hard to do this because I'm going, my brain's got all these different verses. I could spend 2 hours doing this, probably drive everybody nuts. Then you can make little fancy gifts and hang them as like you hang an ornament, right? And, of course, we know the easiest one is Matthew 2:11. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Ah, do you remember something very unusual about this verse, Sal?
What's that?
Well, the wise men came to the house. But the Christmas carols all say the wise men were there with the shepherds at the manger, but this plainly said they went to Nazareth and they came to the house for the young child, not babe. Child means walking. Babe is wrapped. Babes don't walk. Children walk. So the wise men followed the star, and they didn't get there until Jesus was back in his house. His father was out working. He was a carpenter, remember, Joseph, working, and only Mary and the baby were there when the gifts came.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. At Christmas, we all think of the wise men being there. They never made it. they didn't go to Bethlehem. The star, you know, an angel told them in a dream to, you know, follow the, go to where the baby was, follow the star. Remember, they were led by the star. And it didn't take them to Bethlehem and led them back to Nazareth. Ah, there's so many things. Doves in the tree. Ah, the famous one when Jesus in Matthew, when he was going to be baptized by John. And in Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Doves can be on the tree. And fish. Remember, what was the symbol of fish used for? Do you remember, Style, later after Christ, after the time of the apostles?
I thought that was just a symbol for Christianity and a follower of Christ in general.
No, it was a secret. It was a secret symbol of Christian Jews when they were forced underground and being persecuted and killed by Rome. They used the symbol of the fish to identify each other. There was a protection.
Gotcha.
But in Scripture, we know Matthew 4 in verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus, and he said unto them, Jesus, of course, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, and be fishers of men. So we can have fish on the tree for two reasons. The secret symbol that protected Christians during the first great persecution. And then you can place crowns. And the kids can make little crowns. You can do, you have to sit down and before Christmas help make some of these ornaments, a little tin foil and some cardboard and tape and whatnot and little gold paint. Revelation 2:10. For none of those things which thou shalt fear, none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Crown of life. Okay, a circle. Why would I put a circle? Make a circle on my Christmas tree. Do you have any idea, Style?
I'm trying to think of it. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if anybody out there, the people think, everybody think, while I read this, in Revelation, Jesus said what? In verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the
end,
saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty, the beginning and the end. Then in Isaiah, in chapter 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Declaring the end from the beginning, a circle representing Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, right? Now, you can also put the infinity symbol on a tree. Why? Everlasting life, right? Jesus came and said what? He was going to bring us everlasting life. So there was another thought. How about bells? We know we heard the bells on Christmas Day, the old familiar carols. There's a secular reason. Scripture, there are several things about bells. They were mainly on the clothing that the priests would wear. But in Zechariah 14, in verse 20, it said, in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. There shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. The bells ringing will signify holiness before the Lord. Then I went and I found some real bad brambles, and I needed a crown of thorns. But you can also take some old barbed wire and make a crown out of barbed wire, and it's a pretty ugly looking little crown, representing a crown of thorns. And both Matthew and Mark talk about it in Mark 15:17. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. Yeah, when they put it on his head, it rammed all those thorns in his flesh. Then, last thing I put is the star. Matthew 2:1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Also, you can go to Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. You know what Jesus just said there, Sal?
What's that?
I am the bright and morning star.
That makes a pretty good argument for the star on the top of the tree.
Well, it also... how about the star that led the wise men? Isn't Jesus saying he was that star that led them?
Absolutely.
Remember, the angel of the Lord, God is what? Omnipresent. He is present in all times and in all places. He is here with us at this instant. He is there at the beginning. He is there at the end of everything, if there is an end, far beyond where we can comprehend. He is everywhere at one time. So here he is, the angel of the Lord all through the Old Testament, the pre-incarnate Christ. And for a special thing on Christmas, I just thought of that. I'm going to do that tonight. Let's open our Bibles, if you have your Bibles, and let's go to Matthew. And... I'm kind of slow, folks. My fans are not what they used to be. Now, not Matthew, I'm sorry. I am thinking the wrong thing for a second here. Pardon me. One thing I love live radio, when you make a mistake, everybody knows you made it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 2. Now, pay close attention. There are two miracles at Christmas. Did you know that, Style?
Well, there's the miracle of our Savior's birth. What's the other?
All right, here it is. Luke 2, verses 8 on. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord, that is the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord, that's who he is. That's Jesus. Before he was born in the manger, came upon them, and here's the key, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The Shekinah glory only comes in the presence of God. Who's there? The angel of the Lord. There's no one else there right now. The angel of the Lord, and with him is the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And it said, and they, the shepherds, were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, omnipresent, omnipresent. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, and then after all of this, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, the Shekinah glory was there only with the angel of the Lord. And after he had talked to the shepherds, then came the heavenly host. So this Shekinah glory was only in the presence of the angel of the Lord. So you have the pre-incarnate Christ introducing the birth of the Savior, baby Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, announcing his own birth. I'd call that a heck of a miracle.
I'd say so.
All right. Why aren't the pastors preaching the Christmas story? Ernie and I have talked about this for many years. I look around. I talk to other pastors. I show them this. They just, no, it's right there. If you have eyes and are opened by the Holy Spirit, can you see how I can be so positive? You go back in the beginning, Judges chapter 2. I'll tell you exactly where I'm positive of this. Judges chapter 2. An angel of the Lord, verse 1, came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I, hear that, Sal, made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you into unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. This angel didn't say, God told me to tell you. God said, he said, I, the angel of the Lord, I made you. I brought you out of the land. I swore unto your fathers, I will never break my covenant. The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. And he announces his own birth to the shepherds. The second wonderful Christmas miracle. How about that? Any comment?
That's quite the miracle.
How many people do you think have heard that message, other than maybe some of the older listeners on this radio program?
My answer would be not enough. Not enough people have heard the message.
Hey, we're blessed. Salvation Heaven Came Down. What's that hymn? Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. Heaven Came Down. God sent His only begotten Son. Be born a woman. Lying in a manger, the lowliest place they had with the animals. He came without a home. He was never rich, never famous, didn't write a book, never owned anything. Nothing but the clothes on his back. And he came to go to the cross to be the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. He came to go to that cross to take my sins and your sins, Pastor Ernie's sins, and everybody else that would accept his offer. And those sins were placed in his sinless, spotless soul so that God had to turn from him. That's why he cried on the cross, you know, God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's forsaken because the Father had to turn from the Son, could not look upon the Son as he died with all those sins. You know, I think about it. We always think about the pain he went through, the beating and carrying the cross and being nailed. But I think the most horrible thing that happened were when on that sinless, spotless soul, all those horrible sins, the ugly lies, the deceit, the rapes, the pillage, the murders, the beatings, the you name it. For a sinless soul to bear all those sins, it must have been a pain that we can't imagine, a pain on a cosmic level, a pain that none of us can relate. I think if you ask anybody that's been around, the worst pain in the world is emotional pain. Ask a mother that's lost a son, a father that lost a child, a parent, a wife that lost a husband. You know, when you lose somebody you love that's dear to you, the emotional pain. There have been families that have lost their children, children who have lost their parents. There is nothing worse than that emotional pain, and I think that is what really Christ suffered the most when he went to the cross for us. So, folks, we can make Christmas really have meaning. We don't have to go to the mall. We don't have to spend a lot of money. We can spend time with our family. We can create our Bible study as we decorate our Christmas tree. It can even be an artificial tree. Doesn't have to be a real tree. But decorate it. Do your family tradition. Make your own study out of it. Do it for your children. Do it for your grandchildren. And maybe for some of you, for yourselves. Now, I just thought of something. You can add lamps, donkeys. You can add wise men. You can add a manger. You can put a scroll, make little scrolls to represent the Bible, praying hands. You can, oh, how about an anchor? There's talk about he's the anchor that holds. You can have, there's a Star of David, a six-pointed star, and the five-pointed star of the five wounds of Christ. I wonder if we can think of anything else that can represent and go on there. That's something maybe some of the listeners will think about. And if you can come up with something else, a little later we're going to open the phone lines and maybe they can call in, give them time to come up with another symbol that can be put on the Christmas tree. And in your house, heaven can come down to earth and the entire story really of Jesus can be told right there with crosses and decorations and hope you'll make this Christmas special. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Right now, someone in a Hardee's kitchen is about to warm up your holiday with the new Grilled Cheese Bacon Burger. Charbroiled 100% Angus beef, bacon, and Swiss and American cheese melting on our soft, buttery sourdough. And our new Grilled Cheese Breakfast Sandwich with sausage or bacon and a fried egg. For your inner child and your grown-up cravings, the new Grilled Cheese Bacon Burger and Breakfast Sandwich. For a limited time, only at Hardee's. Cinnamon Raisin Biscuits are back. Unwrap them while you can. Only for a limited time at participating restaurants.